Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
World leaders including Rishi Sunak and Joe Biden are stepping up diplomatic efforts to prevent the Israel-Gaza war triggering wider bloodshed across the Middle East. Community Secretary Michael Gove has been at the Solidarity Rally in Trafalgar Square this weekend.
There are no words to describe the suffering of families who have seen their relatives butchered in front of them.
More flood warnings are expected for some of the areas worst affected by Storm Babette this week. Severe flood warnings, meaning the risk of death or serious injury, have now been lifted. A new report says more than 165,000 over-50s have started work in the hospitality sector in the last 3 years. Over-50s now make up a third of the industry's workforce, an increase of 14% on 2020 levels. And Manchester United are expected to pay further tributes to Sir Bobby Charlton ahead of tomorrow night's Champions League match at Old Trafford. From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
If you're looking for a new sofa, or bed for that matter, at DFS we like to ask, what's your thing? Do you like to relax to the max? Or get snug as a bug in a rug?
Yes, please.
Is your sofa your sanctuary? Or is your bed your heaven? Are you inclined to recline?
Yeah.
Or have you got a soft spot for the corner spot? That's my spot. Whether you want to get out of your comfort zone or get cozy in it, the right thing is your thing. And we've got just the thing for you. DFS, what's your thing?
Coming up, metaphorically speaking.
Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice are giving away 10% extra. Peacock USA Easy Cook Long Grain Rice is easy to cook, giving you consistent quality and fluffy separate grains every time. Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice has a subtle flavor, making it an excellent accompaniment to many of your favorite dishes. Great for jollof rice or jerk chicken. Enjoy Peacock USA Rice now with 10% extra. Easy cooking, easy eating, every time. Offer available while stocks last. Promotion supported by USA Rice.
If you live in social housing and an issue like damp and mold, broken locks or leaks is worrying you, know the steps to complain. Step 1. Report it to your landlord. Then if it's still not fixed, step 2. Complain through your landlord's complaints process. And if you're not happy with a final response from your landlord, step 3. Escalate your complaint to the Housing Ombudsman. They're impartial and will investigate fairly. Everyone deserves a safe and secure home. Know your rights. Visit gov.uk/social housing.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Two cribs, meet me at the other one. Black, white, made back in a great one. When I'm at the bank, only time I chase some. Thought I played for the Lakers, way I lay up. Up 5 days straight, but we ain't take none. Yeah, I got a few, you wanna take some? High factory paddock, this ain't a stainless. Big yeah, 500K, my appraisal. Yeah, she keeps, she got the glow up. Yeah, Cartier bangle, she about to blow up. Blue, put on all of the ice when she show up. Show. Yeah, diamond chain tangle, she got four of them.
I know you wanna be the main one.
About to get more.
Yeah, I got a whole list of names on the way.
I'm with the same one, I'm with the same one.
Ooh, I love when you drop it down low, but you still high maintenance. Yeah, and you gotta get your hair done.
thought that you make up. She said she wanna be my main one. Sunshine when the rain come. Wanna be my ride or die. She wanna ride in lane one. I told her we could flame one. She told me she could bring some. I asked her where it came from. She said we got the same plug. I said, okay, alright, alright. You looking like the wifey type. You looking like tonight's the night. You looking at me like the lightning. Pussy. Just need a kiss. That pussy cat need tiger stripes. She pussy. Like a fist. Like it, like the fight. Say she wanna find a man. A fine man. A famous man. And if she hot maintenance, tell her I could be a maintenance man. Wanna be my main girl. Wanna be in Wayne's World. Jones and like James L. Don't tell her I ain't hers.
Wanna be the main one. Yeah, I got a whole list of names on the way. I ain't fucking with the same one. Fucking with the same one. Ooh, I love it when you drop it down low, but you're still high maintenance.
Still high maintenance.
And you gotta get your hair done. I'ma go ahead and tell ya. It's like God did your makeup.
She called me Mr. Bombastic. really fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Call me fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Smooth. Just like a silk, soft and cuddly, hug me up like a quilt. I'm a lyrical lover, now take me finna filled with my sexual physique. You know me well, Bill, do me, oh my, well, well, can't you tell? I'm just like a turtle crawling out of my shell. Girl, you captivate my body, put me under a spell. With your couscous perfume, I love your sweet smell. You're the young girl who can ring my bell and I can take rejection. So you tell me go to well, I'm bombastic. Fantastic, touch me on my box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Call me fantastic, she touch me on my box, she says I'm Mr. Boom, 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 bastic. Call me fantastic, touch me on my box, she call me Mr. Romantic. Call me fantastic, she touch me on my box, she says I'm Mr. Boom, boom. Gee whiz, baby, please, let me take you to an island of the sweet cool breeze. You don't feel like drive, well baby hand me the keys, and I will take you to a place and set your mind at ease. Don't you tickle my foot bottom, baby please. Don't you play with my nose, cause I'm a hachoom sneeze. Well are you are the bun and me are the cheese, and if I'm me at the rice, well baby love you the peas. I'm bombastic, tell me fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Tell me fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Boom 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 Bastic. Tell me fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Tell me fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Boom Boom. I say give me your loving, y'all your loving well good. I want your loving, y'all be it like you should. I give you your loving, girl your loving well good. I want your loving, y'all your member the would you like to kiss and caress, rub down every strand of your bandy chest. I'm bombastic, rated as the best. The best you should get, nothing more, nothing less. Give me your digits, chat on your address. I'll bet you confess, when you put me to the test, that I'm bombastic. Tell me fantastic, touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Tell me fantastic, touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Boom. She says I'm Mr. Romantic. Tell me fantastic. Touch me on my box. She says I'm Mr. Bombastic. Why? Girl, your admiration, it'll lead me from the start. With such physical attraction, girl, you know to feel the spark. I want a few words, now go tell you no sweetheart. Now go lava, 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 and a chop your fart. I'll get straight to the point, like a aura dart. Humble lay down in a jacuzzi and get some bubble bath. Only song you will hear is the beating of my
colorful
heart.
Colorful,
Delia,
colorful radio.
Hello and welcome to Metaphorically Speaking with me, Delia Delore, the podcast where we walk and talk our way through popular mottos, mantras and metaphors, tracing their contents and history. Each week we have a special guest who resonates with their chosen expression. Our metaphor this week is fake it till you make it. And we are continuing our conversation with my guest, Michael Vincent, a world famous professional magician, speaker, photographer, and coach. We became so engrossed with the conversation that the team decided we can't cut this. If you didn't hear the first part, it's on colorful.com. So go to shows and then you will see Metaphorically Speaking with Delia Delore there. Our expression this week is something a lot of us have heard when trying and discovering new horizons in life. It seems to have its origins in psychology around the 1920s with Alfred Adler, who developed a therapeutic technique called acting as if. This technique is still used these days and is often known as role play.
She goes, she's gone. If she stays here. The
girl does what she wants to do. She knows what she wants to do, and I know I'm faking it. I'm not really making it.
Released in 1969, the song Faking It by Simon and Garfunkel seems to be the earliest reference made in art to this week's metaphor. Nowadays, we can see that many artists actually fake their success till they achieve it. This is something common with several people in the music and film industry. A good example of this are rappers who talk about and show musical videos about having a wealthy lifestyle, even in the beginning of their careers.
So, my main collaborator, Dana Carney, who's at Berkeley, and I really wanted to know, can you fake it till you make it? Like, can you do this just for a little while and actually experience a behavioral outcome that makes you seem more powerful? So we know that our nonverbals govern how other people think and feel about us. There's a lot of evidence. But our question really was, do our nonverbals govern how we think and feel about ourselves? There's some evidence.
Can you remember when Rob Pilatus, if you don't remember the name, I'm sure you remember the group's name, Milli Vanilli, when he panicked and ran off stage and MTV's Downtown presenter Judy Brown had to convince him to go back on stage when this happened.
The beginning of the end came not with a bang or even a whimper, but with a skip. On stage one night in July of 1989, in front of thousands of fans in Bristol, Connecticut, the unthinkable happened. Their pre-recorded vocal track got stuck.
I wanted to die.
It stopped. Girl, you know it's girl, you know it's girl. 80,000 people. Girl, you know it's girl. You know, I couldn't repeat it 15 times. Girl, you know. It got obvious still. So I stopped, I panicked, I ran off stage. Julie Brown, who used to work for MTV, ran after me. I didn't want to go back to stage. I had enough. 80,000 people waiting. I said, I have enough. I quit.
So with a bit of pushing and screaming, a couple of F words, I think, as well, I got them back out there. And the funny thing is, they got back out there, and nobody cared. The audience didn't care. It was more, basically, people were laughing at them behind the scenes, more than in front.
The biggest nightmare a lip-sync artist could ever have. I don't think the crowd really got it. I don't think they really knew. But unfortunately, there were a lot of reviewers there, and they were ripped apart.
Isn't this a great example of fake it till you make it? We can fake it till we make it. This is a powerful quote that has led many people from shy to confident and boosts their productivity in a matter of months. But it wouldn't be fair to just talk about the origin and benefits of this amazing motto without giving all of you, my dear audience, some tips on how to fake it till you make it, right? The first thing is to understand that you can become the version of who you want to be. We need to believe and understand that as human beings, we are changing all the time. Our tastes, dislikes, interests, and also our personalities, which is why we can program ourselves to be the best version of ourselves.
If I could put a business suit on, I'd feel like a businessman. Remember, whatever you direct your thoughts towards, okay, and you always think about is what you bring into your life and what you end up becoming. If you always think you're poor and you're broke, well, there's a reason you stay poor and you stay broke, because you believe that's what you are. So that's all you draw into your life. Feel, look, think, work, and become what you want to be one day. Like your parents and your elementary school teachers told you, you can be anything you want.
This doesn't mean we're not good at the moment. It's just that we need to improve in certain areas of our life, which is why we need to remind ourselves of the things that we are already good at and not stopping in our comfort zone. If we are good cooks, let's try to get out of our comfort zone. I assure you that trying a challenging task and getting it right will help you improve your confidence faster.
If I fail, then I don't have anything else. Well, let me tell you something. Don't be afraid of failing, because there's nothing wrong with failing. You have to fail in order to climb that ladder. There's no one that doesn't fail. Michael Jordan said in one of his interviews, when they said, you're unbelievable, you're the greatest basketball player of all times. And he says, well, you're just mentioning the successes. But he says, for me to become the greatest basketball player, I missed 9,000 shots when I was playing basketball at the NBA game.
I like to think of this like a child would think of it, by not thinking about it. When speaking, for example, children usually don't know they are making mistakes, so they're not awkward about it. And once they realize it's cute, they even do it on purpose. Failure and mistakes are part of being humans. As we grow older, we create barriers that limit us from making mistakes. The problem is that we learn from mistakes, or we should. We should be aware that we are not perfect and achieving perfection is impossible. Therefore, enjoying and learning from mistakes can become your next favorite hobby. Give it a try and thank me later.
I'm singing a song right now. I'm singing a song right now. A song.
If you want to sing, sing as a kid. Maybe you won't be a Freddie Mercury or Ariana Grande, but if you have fun and follow your passions, you will be confident and will improve. There's absolutely nothing wrong about doing things and being scared. Most of the time, things that we want are on the other side of fear. Our special guest this week is internationally renowned magician Michael Vincent, who has been named Best Close-Up Magician 3 times by the UK's Magic Circle, and he was awarded the title of International Magician of the Year in 1993. I truly enjoyed my discussion with him on this week's metaphor. His drive, passion, and dedication is remarkable.
You speak a lot about your mother in terms of she allowed you to be the person that you wanted to be. You don't mention your father. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, there is a reason. I really wish I could speak about a father in my life who loved me, guided me, taught me how to shave, how to be a man. I would really love to have had a relationship with a man who truly loved my mother, but it didn't happen. My mother raised me on her own. I'm an only child. My father married someone else when he found out my mother was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And my father left this world with me speaking harsh words to him. I never saw him again.
Oh, do you regret that?
No, I spoke the truth. Never regret speaking the truth, no matter how challenging. I just found his manner very disrespectful and egotistical towards me and my mother. So I gave him some hard truths. And then a few weeks later, he died.
There's so much about you that people, you know, listening to you right now, we've been talking about you being an international magician over the years from childhood, but you do other things like your photography, and you are, I'd say, a very sociable person, because when we first met, I felt that I had known you for a little while, even though I think you were being interviewed at the time, and I think I was. I can't even exactly remember, but I remember leaving. I think it was, it could have been in Harlesden, Northwest London. Could have been there. I remember when you said the jacket, I was wearing leather jacket. I remember in those days, that's where I used to wear my leather jacket. And I remember kind of listening to you, talking to Sherry and telling her, you know, your stories and the things that you were up to. And I thought, this man's going to go far. And at the time, you actually said that you were partially deaf, but the way that you were talking, no one would ever think that way. And now the situation has progressed, I understand.
I am deaf, but I've got a teeny tiny little bit of hearing left, which allows me to use hearing aids. So it means I can have a nice conversation with people, but I still have to pay attention and lip read, just in case, because the hearing aids picks up all the ambient sound as well. Something interesting happened when I woke up that morning with no sound in my head. It was quite bizarre because I couldn't hear anything. I was talking, testing, 1, 2. Oh, my sound's gone. The doctor told me I've experienced dramatic sudden hearing loss. He said, well, nothing sudden. I've been losing my hearing gradually since 2003.
How old were you then, approximately?
2003? How old was I? Let's see, 2004. So 94 is 34. 2004, 44, 45, give or take. I'm 58 now, so.
You do not look 58 at all.
Well, now the beard gives me away, though.
No, you do not. You do not. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. 58. Goodness. So, you know what? 2013, that's when my world changed. And I'm now in a world of silence. something interesting happened. I'm going to use a metaphor. Mm-hmm. As we've been talking, my mutation kicked in. I'm a big fan of the X-Men. I used to love the comics and I love the films. Mm-hmm. So if I was part of the X-Men universe, I would be called empath. Mm-hmm. No question. Let me tell you about the skills of empath when he lost his hearing. Because this is me, down to a T. Although he's deaf, he listens better than most people who talk a mile a minute because he has nothing to distract him. He's reading every ounce of your being. You can't lie to him. You don't have to speak. He can look at your eyes and know exactly what you are thinking. He has finely tuned sensitivity. He's a highly skilled negotiator, and he's a supreme expert at diffusing conflict. He does not seek violence in any way, shape, or form, and very often has put himself in great danger to diffuse the conflict. However, if his back is against the wall and there is no other alternative, well, aggressive negotiations will come out with devastating impact, but he will always seek to preserve life and humanity in himself and others. When I lost my hearing, silence became my best friend. I no longer had to listen to other people's nonsense. I no longer had to take what came out of people's mouths as the truth. In fact, the truth was staring me in the face all my life. I just didn't know how to read it. Now I have no choice. Your being is the truth. Your behavior tells me more than words will ever be able to. If you tell me you love me and you don't demonstrate it, get out of my life. Love is a verb. A verb is an action of some kind, which means you're demonstrating something. Love is a behavior, right? And if you say it and they match and you're congruent, beautiful. I have great faith in Papa G, God. So the fact that I'm silent now is God's way of saying, Michael, I need your attention. You're in this world, but you're not of it. I'm going to share something with you, which is relevant, although not part of the metaphor. I've had two experiences with the psychedelic compound ayahuasca. Are you familiar with it?
No.
It's a special brew found in the Amazon jungle. The people in that part of the world, it's part of their daily lifestyle. Okay, it's DMT. DMT is already naturally in the body. But this compound is mixed with another set of leaves and it's brewed like a cup of tea. You drink it and you relax. After about 20 minutes, shazam. My consciousness leaves this realm and goes to the highest realm it can possibly go inside of me. I kid you not, with my eyes closed, Delia, I saw the truth about everything because I became what I am, the energy that created everything. I lost all sense of my physical presence and being. I saw myself as a very playful, creative, expressive energy. That's just clouds and dust, but it was very colorful and vibrant. It just wanted me to see certain things, like the creation of the universe, the Egyptians building the pyramids. I know how they did it, but I'm not saying. Michelangelo carving the David. I saw this playful energy at play through us, the greatest expression of this energy in material form. It was beautiful. What it showed me is fine. If I never hear again, it's okay. I'm in tune with everything. I can communicate. I can express myself and my ears don't work, but it doesn't mean I can't listen because listening is a function of the mind and heart. And empathy is my whole being. That's why I'm an empath. I am a natural, raw to the core empath in tune with the universe. I'm a 21st century Jedi Knight. The only thing I don't have is a lightsaber. And being the magician that I am, I look smart. My shoes are polished. I can tell the audience like me, and it's predominantly white people I'm entertaining, but I don't care. I make them colorblind the moment they see me because I greet them with love and a warm welcome. I take them on a journey, and my goal is to give my audience an experience of magic that completely transforms their relationship to the world they live in and themselves. Because when they're in my world, anything is possible. And it does happen right in front of them.
So at the time of your performances, are you saying that being deaf actually enhances or can enhance your performance, not just your performance, but your ability to grasp what the audience are feeling and thinking?
That's a beautiful question, because guess what? I'm going to give you my opening line so it answers your question. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Can I hear your round of applause again, please? So they laugh and they start clapping. I said, there's a reason why I asked, because I've got these brand new hearing aids, state of the art, highly sensitive. My audiologist says it might be too sensitive. So just press the button 3 times and it just reduces the volume of the ambient noise. In that short phrase, the audience has learned something about me. I am a deaf magician.
But do they not think sometimes that you're joking? That you're not being serious.
I turn my head slightly so they can see the hearing aid.
Okay.
I adjust it and then I go to the other side. I just fiddle with it slightly so they can see it. So I can tell you honestly, they don't think I'm joking.
Okay.
Because it's the last thing they would expect anyone to say right at the beginning of their act.
Yes.
It's so out of left field. It has to be true. And guess what? I've got the evidence. And not only that, in my show, I invite 2 people up. I say, hi, my name's Michael. What's your name? Oh, I apologize for staring because I have to lip read as well.
Mm.
So that a lady tells me her name, I immediately spell it. Mm-hmm. Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, Emily. Very nice to meet you. And your name, sir, David? I spell his name and I remember both names. No question. They remember now and they know what that opening dialogue does. It puts me on a slightly vulnerable footing. And I now need to answer a question. My God, how is a deaf man going to perform magic?
Yes.
And that gets answered in the next 30 minutes. In fact, they forget I'm deaf after my first routine because they're already in a state of astonishment.
Yes. Well, you see, I noticed that about you when I first met you anyway. I mean, I know you had some hearing at that time, but because of the way that you present yourself, it's like even now I'm talking to you and it's a natural thing to, you know, to look at you, but I'm not straining to understand you or I'm not behaving in such a way that there are lots of people, and you see it in the movies all the time, when someone has some form of disability, whether it's autism, deafness, blindness, they start to talk to you like you're a child, or they start to like this, you know?
It's slightly patronizing as well.
Right. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, very much so. And particularly when I'm at airports and I can't hear the announcements properly. Mm-hmm. I hear the sounds, but I can't make sense of anything. So I talk to people, miss, I'm deaf. Can you let me know when it's time to board? Otherwise, I'll miss the announcement and make it clear. And I appreciate what you said because it's made me very sensitive to people with disabilities now. Mm-hmm. How do these people in wheelchairs navigate life? I have a relative who has autism. He draws buildings after seeing it once. Stephen, his name is. He goes up in a helicopter and he has a look around New York.
I've read about him.
Yeah, Stephen Wiltshire.
Yes.
He draws buildings. I mean, he's fully dependent now, but in the early days, it was horrible. But he got the special needs care that he merited. When I lost my hearing, I didn't get much help from the doctors other than the fact that I'm deaf, we'll have you fitted for some hearing aids. But the psychological impact, well, I had to heal myself. I was in a relationship at the time and my girlfriend didn't support me. And it was very challenging because I lost all sense of myself. I didn't really know how to function. So, you know what? Being a single man now, I'm thinking, you know what? God is good. He knows what he's doing because all the pain and suffering makes you stronger. And not only that, it's made me appreciate everything at this level of the human constructed drama. This is not part of the master's plan. We were created, to share, to contribute, to support life on earth, and to propagate and help life flourish. Not dominate, not control, not subjugate each other. You know what? I think it's appalling that in this day and age, places like India, people make a life in a slum. It's appalling, but it just shows you the creativity of the human mind and energy to exist in a place like India. And I've had students in India who tell me about it because I coach them. I said, what's it like living in Mumbai? I said, Mike, if you have money, you can live in a nice place. But the people who don't, they make a life wherever they find themselves. I got the point.
Yes, it's been so wonderful talking to you. You've said so many things that I could have interrupted along the way, but I was just so interested in the things that you had to say. But 2 things that I will touch on briefly is the fact that you are looking after your mom who has dementia will also teach you more, not about life and compassion, but appreciation. I know that you've loved your mom because every step of the way you've said that your mom allowed you to go out and do things and you appreciated that. But seeing her the way that she is right now, I'm sure you have felt more gratification than you ever thought possible. You always knew you were grateful to your mom and you loved your mom, but seeing her the way that she is, the feeling of being grateful is escalating to a level you already thought was high, but it just keeps escalating. And I say that because my mother too has dementia, and my mother too is in the same, it looks like the same level and condition as your mom, where there are days she doesn't even know who you are, but she knows she feels safe with you. Sometimes she may not feel safe with you, and it's only people who are exposed to the illness will understand truly what that means. So I want you to know that you're not alone in dealing with this, and I know that you know that, but it takes so much strength not just to look after her, but to look after your mental well-being, being the major caregiver, because you're looking after her and you're looking after yourself and your mental wellness and your career, which although you may have put on hold, it never stops because you, knowing you, the reading, the learning, you're going to be continuing. So many times we don't say these things to people, but I want to say to you that I'm in awe of you, what you've achieved in your career, in your life, your role as a caregiver, and someone who is a prime example of living life to the fullest, despite all the hurdles that will confront you. So I want to say that to you. And the second thing I want to say is, right at the beginning of the interview, you spoke about the metaphor, fake it till you make it, being negative. But in your own way, and in your own, by your own definition, you have turned it around to make it positive, maybe not be the word, but it has made me, and I hope that my listeners see this as well, it has made me see that whether you call it faking it or bluffing it, because I know I've had to bluff my way through certain situations. Sometimes you plan it, sometimes you don't plan it. Sometimes you're on stage and something happens and you try to create, so there might be a technical error or whatever, so you kind of try to gel it together. No way, you're faking it, you're blagging it, you're bluffing it. We do these things. But as you said, at the end of the day, it's how we make it work for us, which will determine whether it is a positive thing or a negative one.
That's beautiful. First of all, thank you. You've just described the last 2.5 years of my life, putting my career on hold and learning from scratch what it means to take on the most honorable role any human being can embark on. And that's being responsible for another human being. In mum's case, it was an easy choice to make. And in the last 2 years, I was pushed and pulled in so many different directions. I lost all sense of who I thought I was. And I just realized, Michael, this role you've taken on is the ultimate classroom for understanding the true power of love, gratitude, and service. You will never have a better classroom, because once you come out of this, you'll truly know how to serve people. That's what I said to myself. And I just thought, if I never perform magic again, it's okay, because all my adventures, I've made all my dreams come true. That's the first thing. And I just want to say, faking it till I make it. From 2010 to 2016, I was a student of Landmark Education. Are you familiar with Landmark Education?
No, I'm not.
You might want to Google it after this conversation. Landmark Worldwide.
Yes.
I don't even want to call it a personal development training. It is that, but it's so much more. I did the Landmark Forum and I loved it. It was a 3-day conversation on what it means to be a human being. And in this conversation, I learned everything I needed to learn about myself and others. And what I saw wasn't very pretty at times. In fact, it was pretty ugly, because I really had to confront my relationship to myself and life and who I became on this journey. And the one thing, and it ties in with this metaphor, the one thing my teacher said, you've got to be authentic about where you've been inauthentic. Tell the truth about where you've been faking it. And that was a tough one, to tell the truth about where I've been an where I've lied and cheated, just to get ahead, just to make a relationship work. The whole shebang. By the end of the 3 days, I got present to the beauty of this education, so much so I stayed in it 6 years. It's now a part of my whole system. So when I lost my hearing, what I learned as a graduate supported me with my hearing. When my mother took sick, I just said to myself, well, how's the Landmark Forum going to help me with being a carer? See, well, Michael, what's the number one thing you learned from Landmark? They said, be unreasonable. Be unreasonable with yourself. And being unreasonable means taking a stand for something in the face of no agreement, no support, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just you in that moment, and you're the only one that can make a difference. Even if you don't know how, it's on you to do something. And you don't know how you don't know how tough or strong you can be until you need to be.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful, because that was a classroom for living. Seriously.
I'm going to look that up. I really am. I do know the Landmark, but I know that's more of a Caribbean organization more than the worldwide. So I'm going to be checking that out. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on Metaphorically Speaking. And of course, the amazing way that you explained fake it till you make it.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Delia. It's good to see you again, and I hope whoever hears this conversation will extract some immense value from it.
What a wonderful guest we've had this week. Great perspective and some interesting points made, don't you think? Now let's go back to our metaphor, fake it till you make it. Let's get stuck into what this quote could mean. If we take the metaphor literally and we feel we're faking something, it wouldn't be that nice, would it? Instead, it is interesting to notice how we are slowly becoming a new person, evolving into a better version of ourselves. And the best part is that we can do it as many times as we want. We can become whoever we want. And if it's still not getting us where we want to be, we can keep changing, just like a chameleon. This wonderful TED Talk, Amy Cuddy talks about how she had to fake being confident to give speeches before being able to actually feel the confidence needed to do so. So has one of her students, who became a great professional and is now extremely confident.
And so I want to say to you, don't fake it till you make it. Fake it till you become it. You know, it's not do it enough until you actually become it and internalize. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. Tiny tweaks can lead to big changes.
I want you to take a moment and close your eyes. If you're driving or doing something that requires your attention, please do not do this and take this as a homework to do or when you are in a relaxed environment. I want you to close your eyes and think about the version of yourself you want to be. Where do you see yourself? How are you dressed? What is your smell? What type of haircut do you have? How do you walk? Think of as many details as possible and picture yourself in this wonderful state of feeling fulfilled, successful, and grateful. Now, slowly start opening your eyes and come back to the present moment. Feel your body, see your hands, and think about the things you need to do to become that person. That visualization is there, waiting for you to become it. You absolutely have the power to do it. Once you are on the good path, you will start to notice small changes, and this will keep you motivated to continue with your projects. Maybe you want to be a high-performance athlete, an artist, or even have your own podcast. The important thing to know is that you can do it. You just have to fake it till you make it. Thanks for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Metaphorically Speaking. Thank you also to my guest, Michael Vincent. He really takes hand magic to a new level of artistic, authentic self-expression. He's so unique, and he definitely gave new light to Fake It Till You Make It. You can check him out on YouTube and also at michaelvincentmagic.com. Don't forget, if you'd like to suggest a metaphor for an upcoming show, you can reach us at colorful.com/shows/Delia. And of course, we'd love you to share the show with your friends or leave a review on colorful.com or on our podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, which is on Apple, Spotify, and all major streaming platforms. Please help us to grow. You can also suggest a metaphor by emailing us at info@metaphorically-speaking.uk. Join us for another metaphor next week. I'm Delia Delore. Bye for now.
Delia Delore on Colorful Radio.
Crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. We'll be right back.
I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you, just the two of us.